This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Hosea with whiplash, plea for repentance, punishment and restoration, betrothal, and Gomer redeemed. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Postmodernism and its sort of rejection of truth overall has left this one area of truth remaining, and that's the lens of power.
So somewhere in between that time where I had that strong reaction to a Sanctity of Life Sunday and being offered an abortion, God changed my heart completely, and it was receiving God's word, properly distinguished law and gospel, that changed my heart.
Scientism takes the tool of science and it leverages it to justify a grand narrative of the universe, specifically without God or without reference to things divine.
Baptism is a work of Jesus to cleanse, to sanctify, to forgive his holy Christian church.
Hi, this is Jeff from Lithia, Florida. Beloved on-demand treadmill runners, love issues, etc.
We're often hesitant to start this conversation, even though the opportunity may be literally standing on our front porch. Not so much in the age of COVID, but we could still remember when the Mormon elders would come to the door, and it'll happen again sooner or later. How do we engage with Mormons, especially since we use so much of the same language, Christians and Mormons, with very, very different definitions? Should we learn Mormonese so that we can understand what they're trying to say before we begin to introduce them to the biblical definitions of those terms like grace and atonement, or even who Jesus is and what he was doing on the cross? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, March the 11th, we're coming to you live. We're going to be talking about Christians engaging Mormons with Pastor John Leach of Truth and Love Ministry. Then we'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Christians engaging Mormons, Pastor John Leach, president of Truth and Love Ministry based in Nampa, Idaho, and he's author of the new book, Crossing the Chasm, Helping Mormons Discover the Bridge to God. Pastor Leach, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Many think that Mormonism and Christianity are basically the same thing. How do you respond to that?
Todd, you know, we typically see folks fall into like three camps. There's those who don't really understand how great the divide is. They don't understand how different the teachings are. You know, they say, oh, we're just all trying to get to the same place. And I always think of, if you're going to build a bridge, and in order to build that bridge that you might carry the gospel across, you got to know how far it is. And sometimes I think about maybe early explorers as they were crossing the Mississippi. Maybe they waded across and got to a place, but the river was really wide there. They got to an island. They thought they were there. And then they go a little further, and their eyes are open, and they got a whole long ways to go. I think that happens when people take a closer look at the teachings of Mormonism. The more they study it, the more they say, well, there really are significant differences here. So some folks just don't know how wide the divide is. But then there are some who do understand there are different teachings, but maybe don't really understand the gravity of the consequences. This is the live and let live crowd, the I don't want to make waves. But the more they see the human toll and the eternal consequences, I mean, Mormons, their teachings put all the pressure on them, and they just make things so impossible that they're never certain that they'll live eternally with Heavenly Father. And so we're sharing stories all the time of people who really are suffering. And the more I think God's people come to grips with the fact that anyone outside of grace, including Mormons, are not on the path to heaven, the more Christ's love compels us to reach out, speak the truth in love. And then, Todd, there are just some who really, they do get how far the divide is, so the differences of teaching, and they do get that there are consequences, but then shoot, well-intentioned, but they really focus more on debate. And maybe they don't always realize it, but maybe their focus is more on winning an argument rather than winning a soul. And here we just want to always encourage God's people. You know, even more powerful than human persuasion, we have the sword of the Spirit. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. That word there, the dynamite, right? Out west here, we've got mountains and switchbacks, but sometimes there's not a great way to get through. And sometimes they literally just blast through the mountain and you drive under it. They use dynamite. And that's exactly the power that God gives at our disposal, that dynamite. And I think that makes then witnessing to Mormons and understanding these differences, really trusting that the power of the Spirit can cross that divide. And we trust in his tools.
Do Mormons generally think that they are Christians?
You know, it's a good question. If you were to ask it a generation ago, they would identify themselves as Mormons. Even 10 years ago, they had this major media campaign, and it featured all kinds of different individuals. And then at the end, they would say, I'm a Mormon, I'm a Mormon. That's no longer the case. The PR department of the Mormon Church is very shrewd. And not only do their materials appear very Christian, at least on the surface, but they have taught their own people that they now believe that they are Christian. For example, the current LDS prophet has told them to stop identifying as Mormons. They no longer have what was so common for many years, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Now it's the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square. So the result is that today, if you were to ask a Mormon if they were a Christian, they would answer yes. And they're not being deceptive or disingenuous because they truly believe that they are Christians. They would point to things like the name of their church. Well, it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Why would we have the name Jesus Christ in our church's name if we weren't Christian? So they are simply taught that they are more enlightened than other Christians, but now they truly do believe that they are.
Compare the Christian understanding of God with that of Mormonism.
So Lorenzo Snow was a past president of the LDS Church, and he coined this classic couplet. It says, as man is, God once was. As God now is, man may be. You can just imagine, this has enormous implications for the Mormon view of God. They believe that God was once a man, and now he's just exalted. And so if you pause to consider what it would be like to have a man-sized, human-sized God, many Mormons describe him as being distant, limited. He can't possibly know everything that's going on in your life, much less have power to help. So some would say, like a man, he can see your actions, but maybe he can't see your thoughts. You would think lowering God would make him closer to us. But in reality, the opposite is actually true. It makes God seem much further away. By contrast, Christians understand God is not just different in degree. He's different in his very essence. And that brings tremendous comfort. He's present everywhere. He knows everything. And he's got the power to help in every need. I don't want to believe in a God who's just a little further along the process than I am. I need a God who's far bigger than me. And the paradox here is, the bigger God is, the closer and more personal he is to us as well.
Compare the Christian understanding of man to that of Mormons.
If I go back to that couplet again, that famous LDS couplet, as man is, God once was, as God now is, man may be. It really also impacts their understanding of themselves. This means that if God was just a little further along the process than I am, then I can someday become like him, a God. Mormons believe there's a preexistence before this life. and that they are actually spirit children, literal offspring of a heavenly father and a heavenly mother. And as such, they're given this divine potential. They believe they come into the world with a predisposition to do good, and then their time here on earth is a time of testing. So you just want to prove your worthiness. A Mormon might say, for example, to me, John, you're a dad. You don't want your kids living with you in your house forever. So, you know, it would be loving for you to tell them to pick up their bootstraps, right? So they would say it's loving of Heavenly Father to have expectations. So we need to do our part to pick up our bootstraps and become independent. Mormons believe we're born good to do good. But of course, the problem with that analogy is that we're not born good by nature. Scripture paints a very different picture, where we're born spiritually blind, enemies of God, dead in sin. I have a predisposition, but it's not to do good. And so going back to that analogy, it would be kind of like having a child who's paraplegic, telling them to pick up their bootstraps and just get moving. That would not be loving. That would be cruel. We don't just need a ladder so that we can get ourselves out of the pit. We need a stretcher, and we need God to carry us out on it.
What is the Mormon plan of salvation, so to speak, and how does it differ from that of Christianity?
So there is a big difference between Jesus giving us salvation and giving a plan of salvation. I was thinking a lot of homes going up where we're living and all kinds of places around the country. And if you want to construct a home, you may have an architect who draws up the plans. You've got plans on paper, but it's still up to you to purchase the land, gather the materials, build the house. And that's such a picture of Mormonism. In Mormonism, they emphasize Jesus as your example. He gave you the blueprints. He showed you how it's done, but it's up to you to then work the plan, do the plan yourself. I just see Christians who, we see Jesus as our complete substitute. He lived under the law perfectly for us, and as a result, he now actually gives us salvation. There's so many, of course, including Mormons, who don't understand that. I just always encourage Christians, praise God that you do know it.
Pastor John Leach is our guest. We're talking about Christians engaging Mormons. He's president of Truth and Love Ministry based in Nampa, Idaho. When we come back, what do Mormons mean when they talk about grace? You can help new Christians or those curious about the true Easter miracle with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, A Simple Explanation of Easter. These booklets are sold in packets of 20, making them perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in church pews. Find out more about A Simple Explanation of Easter at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, A Simple Explanation of Easter.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Hosea with Whiplash, Plea for Repentance, Punishment and Restoration, Betrothal, and Gomer Redeemed. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Defending the Faith, Teaching the Truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For 160 years, St. John Lutheran Church Child Care and Preschool has been a congregation committed to bringing Christ's salvation to the people of Fredonia, Wisconsin. We gather to receive the Lord's gifts and His divine service to us each Sunday at 8 and 10:30. If you're in the northern suburbs of Milwaukee and looking for a traditionally liturgical church, please join us this Sunday. For more information regarding education or enrollment, visit us online at stjohnfredonia.org.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
We're talking about Christians engaging Mormons. Pastor John Leach is our guest, president of Truth and Love Ministry based in Nampa, Idaho, and co-author of the new book, Crossing the Chasm, Helping Mormons Discover the Bridge to God. So, Pastor Leach, what do Mormons mean when they use the word grace?
Yeah, Mormons have so many different definitions for words. Now, we celebrate grace, right? Ephesians 2 is, by grace you've been saved through faith, this not of yourselves, a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We cherish passages like that, which just demonstrate God's unconditional, undeserved, I might say, no strings attached love. But in Mormonism, one of the most famous passages from the Book of Mormon is 2 Nephi 25:23, and it says, "It is by grace you are saved after all you can do." So Mormons always attach conditionals to receiving God's love and favor. And then when they even get grace, what grace is something so very different. If you, in Mormonism, do all that you can do to receive God's grace, then all you receive is God's enabling power. It would be like if you're running a marathon and you're just at that point in the race where you hit a brick wall. You know, for me, that'd be pretty early on. And if you put enough effort in, Mormonism would say God would be by the sidelines, and then he'd be there to offer you an energy drink so that you can keep going. But it's still ultimately up to you to make sure you finish that race with your own two feet.
Who is Jesus according to Mormonism?
Mormonism would say Jesus is the firstborn. He's also literal offspring of Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother. When Mormons hear Jesus as Savior, they'll use that word. They often hear the word example. Mormons don't see Jesus in the same light as Heavenly Father. They would say Heavenly Father is the God of this world. They minimize the person of Jesus. For example, they have three levels of heaven. And so if you're at the very top level, you'll live with Heavenly Father. If you're middle level, you'll be visited by Jesus. Bottom level, then visited by the Spirit. So even there, they make distinctions. Mormons don't pray to Jesus. That would be, in a way, having multiple gods. So they would pray to Heavenly Father, and they would do so at the close of their prayer in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I just think the way in which they see Jesus impacts everything. For example, at Christmas, you know, Christians, we celebrate Jesus came to rescue us. That's his rescue mission. Mormons would see it like, okay, here's the elder brother, the one who did it all perfectly, and now I got to follow his example. And so from a certain perspective, Mormons would even see Christmas with a burden.
What is Jesus doing on the cross according to Mormonism?
Mormons don't tend to emphasize the cross. It's not that it doesn't come up, but when Mormons speak about the atonement, they'll focus on the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweat blood, and there they really focus on submission to the Father's will. Look at the perfect example Jesus was showing, they might say. They would de-emphasize the cross, I think, for a couple of reasons. They would say because it's a graphic tool of execution, and they don't want to emphasize that. But the cross so just perfectly and beautifully shows it is finished, right? where on the cross he suffered not just physically, but spiritual consequences for sin. And at the end, he says, it is finished, and the curtain temple is torn in two. I mean, all of these pictures that many things Mormons are just unfamiliar with. If they do mention the cross, Mormons will say that Jesus paid our debt of sin, but it's just very different. There's a parable in Mormonism, creditor, a debtor, and a mediator, and the debtor goes off, and then he takes this loan, debt of sin, and he never thinks the payday will come. Well, then there's a day of reckoning, and the creditor, they would say, if it's Heavenly Father, the debtor, us, and so when the reckoning comes, they would say, Heavenly Father says, well, there must be justice, and the debtor, we would say, oh, but we're counting on mercy, and they're at this impasse, and Jesus comes in to rescue us, and he says, I think I've got a deal as mediator, and I'll come in the middle, and I'll pay the debt, so there'll be justice to the creditor, and there'll be mercy to the debtor. And from this perspective, to this point, sounds pretty biblical, but the difference comes in, at the end, in biblical Christianity, right, Jesus turns to us and he says, now you're set free. In Mormonism, Jesus turns to them and he says, now you owe me. And so what Jesus does for them is he, on the cross, pays the debt and refinances their loan so that they'll have more time in a spirit world after this life to pay off their debt. And they're so thankful for that. You give me as much time as you want, centuries, I'm still not going to be able to pay off the debt of sin. So it just creates more burden.
What role does the Holy Spirit play in Mormonism? How is it different from Christianity?
Mormons really interpret so much of spiritual values through emotion. And so they'll believe that the Holy Spirit will give them like a burning in the bosom in order to confirm whether something is true. Mormons also believe in ongoing direct revelation. And that can often take a much higher view for them than even Scripture does. The dwelling of the Spirit within the Mormon mind all depends on your worthiness. So again, everything is connected, conditional to your works, to your worthiness. If you're good enough, then the Spirit will dwell among you, within you. But if you're not, then there'd be this absence. And so they're really never sure where they stand with God. And they hope that there are warm feelings, that is indication that they're doing well, but they're never really quite sure.
And how would that be contrasted to the Holy Spirit's activity according to Christianity?
Yeah, we think about the gift of the Spirit, right? The way in which faith itself is a gift of the Spirit that I don't play a part insofar as right, receiving that gift. I can push God away, certainly, but the gift of faith, the gift of the Spirit is God's working in me alone and ultimately isn't contingent upon my action or my worthiness. We think of if anyone comes to faith, it's a miracle, but not of their doing. It's a work of God.
How can a Christian answer the uncertainty created by Mormon beliefs?
We encourage Christians to take biblical truth. So just like you mentioned, the Spirit and then the how they interpret things through spiritual values. So we'll say, obviously, we don't want to emphasize emotionalism by any means. But don't just stop, Jesus died for you. Take it to the next level and talk about the transformational impact that has now had on you. So your solid foundation is always God's promises and his unchanging word. But with Mormonism, it's really important to then explain the impact, the profound ways that's now changed you. For example, the peace of forgiveness. Mormons don't have that. They're never sure if they have forgiveness because that's dependent on repentance. That's dependent upon them abandoning a sin and never doing it again. So most Mormons are never sure that they have forgiveness. We know we have forgiveness as far as the East is from the West right now. Speak of the assurance that through faith in Christ, we're covered in the robe of his righteousness. We emphasize with Mormons imputed righteousness. Speak of the confidence we have of standing on judgment day. You know, I just can't wait because I already know the verdict, right? The case is already sealed, and so I just get to stand on Christ's victory in that day. Speak of the assurance that we will live eternally with Heavenly Father. Of course, all of these things because of what Christ has done for us. If we take the gifts that we know we have in Christ, and we speak of them and the present reality that we have forgiveness right now, that he's clothed us with his perfection right now, that really stands out to Mormons. And they're going to be attracted to that confidence and that certainty.
What is Mormonese?
So this is the term that we use when we're talking about the Mormon language. And sometimes vice versa, we'll tell Christians, now be careful of Christianese, you know, because there are some terms that people outside of Christian circles might not understand. Mormonese, we would say, is terms that the Mormon church uses that might be identical to terms that we use in Christianity, but they have very, very different definitions. And so sometimes as a result, you can have a Christian and a Mormon engaging in a conversation, and the Christian knows that there's a difference there, but the Mormon is agreeing with them entirely, and they're kind of talking around an issue rather than really getting to the heart of it. For example, a Mormon could say, I believe Jesus died and took away my sins as my Savior so I can go to heaven. A Christian could say that to a Mormon, and a Mormon would totally agree with that statement, but here's what they just heard. I believe Jesus refinanced my debt. He is my example to show me the way to pay it back. And, well, everyone goes to one level of heaven or another in Mormonism. So, again, it can be very easy for people to talk past one another. We actually have a great resource on our website, a Dictionary of Mormonese at tilm.org. It's a free resource. And if anyone is interested in learning more, we encourage them to get a copy for themselves.
So is that why there's often confusion when Christians are dealing with Mormons and they seem to be using the same words and they even seem to be affirming in some sense the same definitions of those words? Because the Mormon has been taught entirely different definitions, and even formulas like salvation by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. I've spoken with Mormon elders at my doorstep who wholeheartedly affirmed that, but they were defining every element of that formula differently, weren't they?
Exactly. If I would walk through Ephesians 2, for example, you know, grace, I might not even use the word grace. I know that sounds strange because we're trying to teach that to them, but Jesus taught grace all the time, but he didn't always use the word. For example, John 3:16 emphasizes grace, but it never uses the word, right? So I might use, when I'm talking about more grace, I might say God's no strings attached love, and that's going to make it stand out in a whole different way to Mormons. They use the word saved. Many times, it can be defined different ways, but saved or salvation for Mormonism a lot of times has to do just with the resurrection. He got me to the courtroom, and then I have to stand on my works to determine where I'll go from there. Whereas Christianity, we know that the empty tomb gets us through the courtroom. So it really is important to define those terms.
We're talking with Pastor John Leach of Truth and Love Ministry about Christians engaging Mormons. On the other side of the break, what is the biggest obstacle for Mormons in hearing and receiving the gospel? How should Lutherans respond to the assertion, your church is too Catholic? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joshua Pauling traces his path from big box evangelicalism and Reformed Calvinism to the treasures of historic Christianity found in the Lutheran Church, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
What does it mean to live the Christian life? Reaching out in mercy to our neighbors, receiving our Lord's gifts in worship, and proclaiming His truth to the world. The Lutheran Church Extension Fund comes alongside churches and individuals to help them live out this beautiful Christian life every day. This year, we have a ripe opportunity to bring Christ to a hurting world. Discover the role you can play in this great work. Call 800-843-5233 or visit lcef.org.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Augustana Lutheran, Moscow, Idaho. Divine Savior Lutheran, Divine, Texas. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Our Savior Lutheran, Winchester, Virginia. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. And Trinity Lutheran, Scarsdale, New York. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Christians Engaging Mormons. Pastor John Leach is our guest, president of Truth and Love Ministry based in Nampa, Idaho. So, Pastor Leach, what is the biggest obstacle for Mormons in both hearing and receiving the gospel?
Yeah, we want to share the message that this is a gift. I will say, I might avoid the word free. Not that I don't in some way come around and teach that, but that's just a trigger word for them, and it seems cheap. If you share the message of Christ crucified, that is the big obstacle. Don't expect a Mormon right away to jump up and down for joy when they first hear that Jesus did it all. They have put in blood, sweat, tears, all kinds of investments in different ways, financial including, that you are basically saying you did that for nothing. I think about tax season. So like, let's say unbeknownst to me, my wife is pouring over tax forms. She's filling it all out. She finally gets it all done. She gets it out in the mailbox. Meanwhile, I'm doing the same thing at the same time, and I'm putting in all that time, and then she's coming from the mailbox while I'm going to it, you know, to file taxes. I would want to take hers out and put mine in because I would want my effort to count for something. And I think maybe that's a picture of sometimes where Mormons are coming from. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9, we want to become all things to all people. And so there's all kinds of different obstacles that we can overcome. But the one that is non-negotiable, right, the obstacle we can't avoid, the one that they desperately need to hear is Christ crucified.
You say that a Mormon will have to abandon an entire worldview to become a Christian. What do you mean by that?
Mormonism is more than just a religion. Well, I think we see that too. I mean, it's part of its culture. Even in Christianity, you have some who may be not very connected, but culturally, they maybe identify as a Christian, so they still celebrate Christmas or Easter, things like that. Mormonism is just so far-reaching and pervasive, and it shapes so many aspects of life. It's their culture. It's their identity. It's their purpose. It's their community. And so you can imagine that as someone begins to leave Mormonism, it's like the floor has just literally dropped beneath them, and they're in a free fall. And they're just working to reconstruct every aspect of their view and their life. And this is just why it's so important for Christians to come alongside them and to patiently walk with them, to help with Scripture to begin to reconstruct that new perspective, that new worldview. Like, who is God? And what did he do? What is my new identity in Christ? And how does that shape my purpose? So I think about even the way in which they may be disconnected from family and friends. And so their whole community, it's really important to try and get them connected to a Christian community where they'll feel supported, where they can ask questions. And we just really encourage Christians to welcome them with open arms, help them unravel Mormonism so that they can see the beauty of the gospel and all of its brilliance.
So while the application of law and gospel and the apprehension of that gospel is the primary goal here, one needs to be aware of the fact that Mormons also live in a culture that has been shaped by their worldview. And as you said, maybe even families and networks of friends that are shaped by that worldview, and that this is going to be difficult in spite of the fact that they're coming to saving faith.
It will be. One of the things I would say Mormons are really attracted to as a part of that new community and culture is they see something different in a community that's been shaped truly by the grace of God. There is this unconditional love that, hey, we don't have, you know, for years they were trying to wear a mask and they couldn't feel like they could talk to anybody or share their struggles because you always have to keep up appearances. Because if things are going bad, you got nobody to turn except on yourself. You get more pressure. And when Christians are just authentic about their challenges and keep pointing to Christ, and we'd be lost without him, but thanks be to God, the victory we have in him. It's so refreshing, and they're drawn to that community, that grace-shaped culture.
Does someone need to be an expert in Mormonism in order to witness to a Mormon?
Todd, just thanks for this question. First of all, absolutely not. Some people think, I wouldn't know what to say. And I am a firm believer that God can use anyone. If you know what Jesus has done for you, it means you have a story to share. Mormons are trying to do so much good. It'd be very hard to out-neighbor a Mormon. But if you talk about how you're already perfect in Christ right now, they are going to be drawn like that like a magnet. Share it with joy and confidence. I would think like if you were a part of a championship team in high school, and it was that evening or the next day, and you're out maybe celebrating with friends at dinner, and you're bumping into complete strangers, and you know, woohoo, you know, just celebrating, and you're telling people about this victory that you have. People aren't going to argue about it. They're going to be drawn by curiosity. Wow, tell me more. And I think when we share the great things God has done in Christ with that joy and confidence, Mormons are going to be drawn to that. And the other thing I just really want to emphasize, too, is when we realize that in the end, witnessing doesn't depend on us, then I believe it's one of the most joyful things we get to do as Christians. We plant the seed. We come back and we water it, but then we step back and we get a front row seat to the work of the Holy Spirit, and we trust in His power to make it grow.
One other question, and this is kind of a more practical nature. More often, we're going to encounter Mormons. They do tend to be kind of quiet about being Mormons in social situations, so you may have a Mormon friend you don't even know about, but we will encounter them when they come to the door. Young men and now young women who are doing their mission. Is that the best place to have these conversations? It is an opportunity, but is that the best place to have these conversations?
You know, we have a program called Please Open the Door where we provide coaching, resources, and materials. We think Mormon missionaries really are a great, great mission field. We encourage people to take off the boxing gloves. Don't see them as enemies. See them as the lost. You know, I think about the people who Jesus has called us to reach, right? Are they holding on to something that rubs us wrong because it's opposed to Scripture? Sure, but that is by virtue part of what makes them lost still. Now, at the door, we would actually encourage you to open the door, let them in, and especially some of these young guys who are missing mom's cooking. If you put cookies out in front of them, they'll keep an eye right on coming back. And our experience is that you just get past the Joseph Smith Book of Mormon stuff real quick. You listen, you ask some softball questions, and then you get to asking them about what do you really believe about how you're saved? And then it just opens up all kinds of opportunities to share the gospel and share your confidence. We have people who are doing this around the world now, and they are sometimes meeting with different missionaries in rotation over years. And we have more missionaries who are saying, I went on my mission to learn more about Jesus. You shared Jesus with me. I'm going to have a hard time in my community when I now leave Mormonism. Can I come and live with you? Just wonderful stories of the Spirit penetrating, reaching hearts. And I would say, too, because of social distancing and some things in some locales, they're meeting online. So if somebody friends you before just turning off that friend request, check to see if it says works at Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because you might have just found your next witnessing opportunity.
Pastor John Leach is president of Truth and Love Ministry based in Nampa, Idaho, and co-author of the new book, Crossing the Chasm, Helping Mormons Discover the Bridge to God. You'll find a link to this book and to Truth in Love Ministry on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Leach, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. God bless.
On the other side, for the last 10 minutes of the program, we're going to be going through your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
Built on the rock, children of the Heavenly Father, on my heart imprint your image, rejoice, rejoice, believers, and so much more. Hi, this is Pastor Will Whedon inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2021 Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Northern Lights, Danish and Scandinavian Hymns. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Superstition is the belief that one event caused an unrelated event. It's often tied up with false beliefs about God and how He works in the world. Is there really such a problem with superstitions? Is there really such a problem with saying, knock on wood or good luck? Explore this and more in the March issue of The Lutheran Witness. We will talk about scientism, superstition, New Age, and so much more. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.